Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special teaching on reigning in life was recorded at our 2012 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
But it says Jesus suffered once and now he doesn't suffer anymore. And you're supposed to have this same attitude. Do you think Jesus would sit there and let pain come on him? Do you think Jesus would deal with sickness and disease and waste away? Do you think Jesus would be poor? Do you think Jesus would be depressed? Do you think Jesus is wringing his hands and saying, "Oh man, I hope we get the right person in the White House. I hope we can pull this off." Do you think he's worrying about stuff? Well, you're supposed to arm yourself with the same mind. You're supposed to have the same attitude that he does. If Jesus wouldn't put up with sickness and disease and poverty and depression, why do you? And some of you are saying, "But I don't have any power." You don't understand righteousness. And that's the reason that God's grace isn't reigning in your life and producing the desired results. Man, this is simple. Most of us see ourselves just in the physical. You know, if you're getting older, you say, "But I'm you know, such and such age, and I just don't have the..." And you see yourself only in the physical. Your spirit, man, ought to be stronger than it's ever been. Moses was 120 years old. His natural force wasn't abated, nor his eyesight dim. The scripture says, "According to your days, so shall your strength be." And I don't care how long you live. If you are breathing, you ought to be strong. You ought to still be hitting on all cylinders. I know some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird. So this is the exact same thing that Romans chapter 6 was saying, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon yourself to be dead unto lust, unto depression, unto poverty, unto sickness. I'm dead to those things. Those things do not have dominance over me. I will not live that way. Amen. I know some of you are thinking, "Where did you come from?" From the Word. This is arming myself with the mind that Christ had. And you know, I'm not a perfect example. I still fight things and I'm still dealing with things. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect example, but I can guarantee you I'm not where I used to be. I hadn't arrived, but I've left. And I believe I'm moving in the right direction, and I believe that this is the way that these scriptures are telling us that we are to arm ourselves with this same mind. Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We are supposed to think like Jesus. How do you think Jesus would respond if the doctor says, "You got cancer, you're going to die"? You think he'd fall apart like a $2 suitcase? We sing these songs about when we all get to heaven, what a day that'll be. And then the doctor tells you, "You're going," and you cry. Something's wrong with this picture. In verse 12, it says, "Let not sin therefore..." The word "therefore" means because of all of these previous statements. Since you are dead to sin, since Jesus only died to sin once and he doesn't have to get up and die to sin again, it was a one-time deal. You are dead to sin. You don't have to get up and die to your sin every single day. Reckon it to be so. Since... "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Remember Romans 5:21? Sin reigned unto death, dominated, controlled unto death. And now it says, don't let this happen in you. I am just amazed at the way that Christians feel so powerless. And they come and they tell me about their problems, and "I've had this happen and this person hurt me, and I'm hurt and I'm discouraged and I'm all of these kind of things," and they just act like I have no power. "Would you please do something for me?" And I just want to grab them and shake them and say, "Why don't you do something? Why do you let yourself be depressed? Why do you let yourself be afraid? Why do you let yourself be discouraged? God placed the power on the inside of you. You need to find out what you've got and who you are, and you need to stand up and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm not going to live this way, and I'm going to change. And many people just are offended by what I'm saying, because you're saying, well, you're taking away all of my defense. You're taking away all of the things that I've used. To cope with this is to make me feel like I'm a victim and it's somebody else's fault. And it's the color of my skin that I'm such a jerk. It's the fact that I don't have an education that I'm so ignorant and stuff like this. No, it's your own decisions. You may have had things happen to you that haven't happened to me, but they do not have to dominate you. I can take people from every race, from every gender, from every social, economic situation, from every education background, and you can find people that prospered while other people were sitting there and letting prejudice or whatever hold them back because they were sitting there licking their wounds and feeling like I can't overcome because of what this person has done to me. Nobody can keep you down without your consent and cooperation. If criticism could kill you, I'd be dead. I've got thousands of blogs written about me, and I got people that say terrible things about me and accuse me and lie about me and say all kinds of things. And you know what? It is not going to stop me from being who God wants me to be. Some of you talk about things that have happened to you. I've been kidnapped. I've had people spit in my face. I've been threatened to be killed. I've sat down at tables and had the whole table get up and walk away and leave. I've stuck out my hand to shake hands with people and they put their arms up like this and turn their back on me. I've had terrible things done to me, and I do not sit around sucking my thumb talking about how bad it is and how people have rejected me. I've probably had more rejection thrown at me than many of you who are sitting there nursing wounds. I'm not saying these things to hurt you. I'm saying that Jesus has made you righteous. He died unto sin once. You do not have to let these things dominate you. If you were to see who you were in Christ, if you were to know how much God loves you, it just shrinks all of the other criticism down to where it's no big deal. You know, I had a niece that had one of these blankets that she couldn't go to sleep without. Every waking moment, she had to have this blanket with her, like Linus on the Peanuts deal. And she just went everywhere, and she sucked her thumb, and I mean, until she started school. And kids made fun of her. She was 6 years old, and she still had to have this blanket. And it got to where it was a problem. So my brother tried to take it away, and she'd just throw a fit. And so what they put castor oil on her thumb. She got to where she liked it. She liked hot sauce. Nothing slowed her down. But you know what they finally did? They took this old blanket. They couldn't even take it away in time to wash it. I mean, the thing was filthy. They took this blanket and cut it in two. And she just held on to the blanket. And then they cut it in two again. And they kept cutting it in two. And finally it got down to where it was this little square like this. And Tammy just threw it away and forgot it and just reduced it to where it was insignificant. And she just got rid of it. And it's no big deal. You know what? In a sense, the only reason all of these things bother you is because you have this attachment to it that is unnatural. It may be natural according to unbelievers, but it is unnatural according to God's system. And you are making this. And what you can do is when you get into the love of God and understand what He's done for you, it just begins to shrink these things that have held dominion over you down to where it just becomes insignificant and you can just throw it away. Oh, this person hates me. No big deal. Jesus loves me. You know, I've had people come out and say terrible things about me. I had a guy come up one time and just criticize Jamie over the way she dressed. And Jamie always dresses nice, and there's nothing wrong with the way Jamie dresses. But he was a Pentecostal, and he thought that she was not supposed to wear any makeup or jewelry, and she wasn't dressed according to his religious style. And he came up, and he just started redressing me and saying, you need to get your wife in line, and you need to make her do this and this. And he just started reading me the Riot Act. And I just looked at him and I said, who died and made you God? And he just stopped and says, what do you mean? I said, you know what? You aren't God. I don't care what you think. Well, you should care what I think. And I said, you're nobody. I said, why do I care about you? I said, God Almighty loves me and God loves my wife and we do what we think God wants us to do. And compared to God, you're nobody. And he got very offended and walked off. But you know, this is how I deal with all of this stuff. I know that God loves me with all of my imperfections. God loves me. And when somebody comes out and criticizes me, and it's not always unjustified, sometimes I mess up and do things wrong and say things wrong. And when I get criticized, I just run back to the fact that, God, you love me. And what that does, it shrinks down everybody else's criticism to a place that it's no big deal. You know, I don't want y'all to hate me. If God made us for fellowship, he created man for fellowship, and there's something inside of every person that wants people to like them. I would like y'all to like me, but if you don't like me and if you come up and if you criticize me, I'm not going to be blessed by it. But you know what? It won't keep me awake. Because what I do is compare you to God, and compared to God, you're nothing. And I just don't care about your opinion. And some of you are, well, I'd never do that. Obviously. Many of you are codependent upon people. You're codependent upon their approval. You can't make it without being reaffirmed by people. That's a symptom of you having an inferior relationship with God. Strong statement, but it's absolutely true. How did I get off on that? Oh, I got off on that because it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Why do you let depression and anger and, oh, I feel rejection and pain and suffering? Why do you let these things rule? Because you don't know who you are and what God has done. If you were to ever get tied into God and understand how much he loves you, everybody else would be nothing in comparison.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on reigning in life. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2012 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM252 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
If these radio broadcasts have been a blessing to you, I would like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, we have people that give sometimes when they order materials, and we appreciate that. We appreciate any way you want to participate. But our bills come in on a monthly basis. And really, the backbone of this ministry are the people who become partners with us and give on a regular basis. And I would like to encourage you to pray about this. You know, we spend well over $1 million a month just on radio and television airtime. That's not including the materials, staff, other things. There's a lot of needs. We couldn't do this if it wasn't for partners. So I encourage you to pray about it. And if the Lord says so, become a partner with us today.